Hello.
Hi, is this, Reginald Grandguard?
I'm Reggie. Only folks call me Reginald are cops and doctors, and honey, you ain't sounding smart enough to be either of those.
Okay. Reggie?
Come on, girl, I ain't got all goddamn day. State your business.
Well, recently I took a DNA test.
A what?
A DNA test? You know, Ancestry. 23andMe.
Sweetie, why'd you go and do that for? Now the government's got your DNA.
Well, now they got half yours, too.
You telling me those son of bitches up in Washington got my DNA? Who the hell is this?
I don't know how to say this, but, well, you might be my biological father.
What'd you call me, girl?
You know, I think you might be my dad.
Your dad? Okay. See, I knew this day was going to come. I never liked wearing those raincoats, if you know what I mean. No siree. I liked 100% real deal.
We can skip that part.
Wait, I bet you I know who your mom is. How old are you, girl?
I'm 32.
I knew it. Carol's your mama.
No.
Must be Linda.
No, my mom is...
Don't tell me, girl. I know who your mama is. Beth.
Actually...
Gotta be Robin.
Nope.
Lori.
No.
Deanna.
No.
All right. Let me think for a minute. Oh, my God. It's Diane. Damn, she could dance. No one could keep up with her. That wooden leg didn't slow her down one bit.
Reggie.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you about her sister. Oh, my God. That lady could shoot a gun. With only one eye, too. She'd shoot all the fellas Diane could not run with that wooden leg.
Did you ever live in Chicago?
Hell no. Been in Tennessee my whole life.
Thank God.
Hello? You there? Hello? Well, I don't know if you can still hear me, but Daddy loves you.
Some more comedy right here on Missing Pieces, MPE Life. I'm your host, Don Anderson. This is Doppelgangers, Part 2, Season 4, Episode 11. If you haven't heard Part 1, please stop listening right now. This episode's not going to make any sense to you. Go back. Listen to the preceding episode, which is just called Doppelgangers, and then come back, and we'll be here. I always think everyone should start listening from the very first episode anyways, and work your way to the most recent. You know, because I, like, used to define some of the terminology we use, but I don't really do that anymore, since I assume people listen from the beginning, or they already know them. Like, for instance, the term NPE stands for Not Parent Expected, which evolved from non-paternal event. But we use it as a noun. It's what we call ourselves. You know, I'm an NPE. Are you? Is he an NPE? Oh my God, this TV show's about an NPE. That kind of thing. Before we get to the episode, I just want to ask you guys, do you guys know about the summit? I'm talking about the summit for MPEs, adoptees, and donor-conceived people. It's called Untangling Our Roots. It's put on by Right to Know and NAAP, which is NAAP, National Association for Adoptees and Parents. Untangling Our Roots is a conference for people like us. You know, it's kind of like a convention, sort of. So mark your calendars, April 25th through 28th in Denver, 2024. You can register now. And guess what? Three of your favorite podcasters are going to be doing a special panel. On Friday, the 26th of April, Lily Wood, the OG of podcasters from MPE Stories, and Eve Sturgis from Everything Is Relative, are joining me as their moderator, and we're going to make a couple episodes for their podcast. It's live and in person at the summit, and you can be there to participate, to watch, whatever you see fit. And in addition, I might be just walking around with a microphone, making my own episode. So register now. Go to untanglingourroots.org. Untanglingourroots.org. So let's get on with the show. Remember, there are two people, Crystal and Jen. Jen lives in Michigan, and Crystal owns a salon in Pennsylvania. And this is Crystal.
So after I met Jen, and we really decided, like, okay, so... it's pretty obvious when I'm putting these pieces together, how long it took my mom to get pregnant, what happened with your mom, knowing that, you know, your parents have admitted to using a donor to conceive. I feel like I just need her to tell me the truth. And one night I just decided I'm just going to really tell her that I know and ask her all these questions and just make it uncomfortable. Some of me thought that after the documentary that I watched about the doctor who artificially inseminated women with his own sperm and they thought it was their husband's.
Oh yeah. That was Pennsylvania, right?
It was. It definitely crossed my mind that maybe my mom thought she was inseminated by my dad.
Mm.
And that I was going to be crushing my mom, telling her that she had children with a donor that was not her husband. That maybe she really didn't know, because I'm asking her all these questions and they're like, no, not possible. You know, like, how would they think that it's not possible if they really knew the truth? Why would they just not tell me? Like, I'm over 40 years old. I still can't actually understand why they didn't just tell me. But anyway, I called her and I asked her, like, and I was really sensitive to the subject with her because I didn't know if she really did know for sure. So I approached her asking, did you use a fertility doctor to conceive me? And she was like, no. And I said, are you sure that you definitely did not use any kind of fertility treatments when you conceived me? She was like, no, I used a fertility doctor with your brother, but not you. No. And I said, well, I mean, that's really strange because I definitely have a sister. And I don't know how else to explain that, because she was conceived via a donor. And the more that I've looked at my ancestry, my ethnicities and all of my relatives, I am completely related to the same people that she's related to. And I don't know any of them, and neither does she. But her parents told her that she was conceived via a donor. So unless dad is lying to you, and maybe he was adopted from the same family and he is the donor, so I'm going to tell dad that he's going to take a paternity test. Because that would mean that dad did donate and he's just not who he says he is. So we're going to find that out. So that's how I kind of blackmailed her into telling me the truth, by threatening her and telling her that I'm going to have my dad take a DNA test.
Right.
So she didn't want me to talk to my dad about the situation. She said, all right. Like, no, don't tell him. Don't ask him to take a paternity test. I'm going to tell you the truth.
And this is Jen, the one from Michigan.
So, yes, she was kind of keeping me posted on the conversations that she had over time with her mom, because she had only talked to her mom. And so she did tell me about how she had finally kind of, you know, I don't know if she said the word blackmail, but she told me that she had kind of blackmailed her mom into admitting it to her. I was upset, thinking that, you know, she was being kept in the dark. You know, that was really upsetting for me. Because, you know, while my parents hadn't planned to tell me ever, they did just come out and tell me when it was clear that, you know, I was figuring it out. So yeah, that I was hurting for her about that. So I was so relieved, you know, when she finally got it out of her mother.
Here's Crystal.
That's when she told me that my father had been in a pretty horrific car accident, which I did know about this also because he was in college. He was 18 years old, and they had actually, I think he gave her a promise ring at that point. And he was driving on a local road home from college to have lunch, and he crossed a double yellow line and got in a head-on collision. The other man did die. And my dad was in the ICU and he had a testicular severage, she told me. So the reason why they actually went to Penn U is because it was like a pioneer hospital for vascular surgeries and repairs. So they were trying to repair that tubing. And it was a failed surgery. So the other option for him to ever have children would be to be in their donor program.
Oh, wow.
And since it was like experimental surgeries and experimental fertility, because it was student, it was like, you know, pioneer fertility clinic. They didn't actually have to spend a lot of money or any money to be in the donor program. So first they used that clinic to conceive my brother, and they requested the same donor as I was told for myself.
At that point, when she said that, did it come as a shock?
Well, I really didn't feel shocked. I felt like kind of relieved to actually know what I was looking for, because I felt like I already knew. And all of the things that she said at that point really made sense. Of everything that I had ever known in my life about my parents' story, about my dad, about his accidents, I felt like that made the most sense to me. That I felt like I really knew the truth, and finally, like, you're being honest with me. I was very upset though in that moment that she told me not to tell my brother that he's donor conceived, because he would be very angry, because she's been telling him he's terrible his entire life for saying that my dad isn't his biological dad. So she wanted him to continue thinking that he might be crazy. And she also wanted me to not tell my father that I know that he's not my biological father, to spare him a feeling like, I guess, I don't know, like second class, or I don't really know exactly what she was trying to spare him of. Yeah, but at that moment, I was very happy that she told me the truth. So I was kind of like a little bit of a double-edged sword, you know?
I mean, even like 6 months before I found out about myself, you know, like when you lie in bed at night and you wake up at 3 a.m. and start thinking about shit.
Yeah.
This has happened more than once where I just think about, like, how do I exist? Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, nobody in my family was good in school. Nobody was a good athlete. And I was.
All of these things have always, I truly always chalked it up to, like, I'm just like magical.
With you, you're like, you say it was magical. Like, for me, I thought I was a fluke. That's how I used to feel. Like, I'm just a fucking fluke. And then, so when I found out about my dad not being my dad, and I wasn't a fluke, I mean, it was the most uplifting thing in the world. Like, you know what I mean? It finally explained me.
I really hope that feeling for my brother, because my brother feels like he doesn't fit and he doesn't make sense. I know he feels that way. And my dad that raised us, my actual dad, is also schizophrenic. So I always was very concerned that my children would develop schizophrenia. And my brother, he has like schizoaffective moments almost. And I was wondering and thinking, you know, he may just be thinking that, not knowing if my dad is actually really his biological father or not. Maybe he thinks and he's acting on this like he inherited something. But if he knew, it would like release him from that and make him feel like, oh, I make sense, because I feel like I make sense. Knowing my actual biological history makes me make sense to myself.
She asked you not to tell either of them. Did you honor that?
Well, no, I did not, because I thought that was very unfair that you're willing to keep a secret from someone all of this time that is really affecting the person that I am, and what is really, I could see it affecting the person that my brother is. So I only told him to confirm what he thought. My parents and my brother are estranged anyway. They don't speak to each other anyway. So that's not likely to change ever anyway. So I did tell my brother, you know, I just want you to know that I did find out this information about myself. And, you know, Mom did ask me not to tell you, but it doesn't really matter because you already know that Dad isn't your biological father. You feel like you know that, but I think I know who your biological father actually is.
Hmm. And he just wasn't having it.
He was like, no, if she told you that what you think is the truth, it's a lie.
And this is me asking Jen, the one from Michigan, a question. So once she found out, did anything significant happen that led to you finding your bio father? Like, how did that finally come out?
So it didn't have much to do with our talking to our parents. It was just the very dogged research that we were doing on Ancestry, mostly Ancestry, but then kind of, Facebook and obituaries and things like that.
What was your closest match other than her on your dad's side?
Let's see. So we had other first cousins, and we reached out to them on Ancestry and they never wrote back. But then we could find some names. So we knew we were kind of getting to the right place. And I built this big Ancestry tree out that, you know, it was kind of difficult because our biological father is one of 9 children.
Oh boy.
So it was 6 brothers. And
that's very difficult.
Yes. Yeah, so it took a while. Although, I guess it didn't take all that long because, I found out I was donor conceived May 4th. And we wrote, to who we thought we were pretty sure was the biological father on July 6th. So, in the grand scheme of things, it was a pretty short turnaround. You know, I know there are people who...
Oh, that's really short.
Yeah. I know there are people who search for years and years and can't find anything. And my friends who I was keeping in the loop were like, you know, if I ever need a private eye, I am calling you.
After Jen and I started talking, we really started diving into, the family tree on Ancestry and trying to figure out like which way, who are we related to? And we accidentally found an uncle who, their family, they had decided that none of them, all of the family had decided no one is allowed to be on a DNA registry because they have reasons. And this one uncle popped up and, we kind of like narrowed it all down. Jen is really the investigator. She's the FBI agent who was on that case and she solved it.
Yeah. So, I didn't know that I was ready to write to them. But, Crystal was more like encouraging to me about like, let's just do it. Like, what's it going to hurt? And so I drafted an email and, she gave me the green light and I had found his email address using, been verified or something like that. Because that immediate family, was not very active on social media.
Do you have that email you sent?
I do.
How long would it take you to find it?
Oh, I could find it.
So this is the email you sent to your bio father, first contact.
Yeah. Dear X, Crystal copied, and I, Jen, are reaching out because we were recently matched as half-sisters via DNA testing, and we believe based on various mutual DNA connections to people in your family, as well as our research, that you are the donor that our respective parents used to conceive us in Philadelphia in 1979 and 1980. We don't want to disrupt our donor's life or family at all. We understand that if you are, in fact, the donor, you likely did not expect to have contact with any potential offspring. However, we both feel strongly that we'd like to have more information about our biological family, and we hope that you'd be willing to share some family health history, at least, and perhaps also some other family information if you were comfortable with that. We'd be happy to send a health questionnaire if you were willing to fill that out or to talk further and share more information about ourselves. We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks very much, Jen and Crystal. So we waited the longest day ever. And the next day we heard back from his daughter.
So we ended up emailing him just general like medical questions, like if you're willing to answer any of these things. And he sent them over to his daughter, and she quickly got in contact with us because they had always known about us. He told his children about his donations and around the time that the internet spurred over 20 years ago. So they've just been waiting for these siblings to pop up.
This is the email Jen received from their biological father's Ray's daughter.
Regarding your recent email to X. Hi, Jen and Crystal. I'm reaching out on behalf of my dad and my family. We've wondered if any of my dad's biological children would eventually contact him, and here you both are. I'm happy to share any family health information you're looking for. You are biologically part of quite a large family. I have two younger brothers who are your half-siblings. My parents have been married for 47 years. My dad was one of 9 children. We have 20 cousins on my dad's side of the family. My father was in medical school. He was approached to donate and felt glad he was able to help couples have a family. He spent his career as an OB-GYN, and as you said in your email, he never expected that this information would be found out at the time, although he does very much understand your curiosity and interest. If you want to talk more, please reach out.
I couldn't talk for a minute because I was choked up, but like, what a great letter to get, right?
I know. I know.
Just that first line.
Yeah, and I've been... All along, you know, it's been every emotion. I've had every emotion about this, but I am also grateful that I think it's turned out as well as I could have hoped for the circumstances. You know, I could have reached out and they could have said, you know, pound sand,
right,
or no response at all. And I would have been crushed. And I was really trying to mentally prepare myself for every, you know, the whole spectrum of possibilities, because I didn't want to just let myself be crushed. It's turned out well for us. And I'm really glad about that.
And how's their mom?
Their mom is actually great. We haven't spoken to her, but she was part of the process when he decided to start donating. They were already married.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the sister is actually older than we are. She was already born when he started donating.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's Which I all think is very pretty unusual. Abnormal.
Yes.
Yes. I was going to ask how old they were. And then I'm like, oh, Don, you don't have to ask. They're, you know, donor conceived. He probably didn't get married until after, you know.
No. Yeah. So our sister, the half sister that he raised, is a few years older than we are. And then one of the brothers is our age and another is younger. So he was donating at the same time that he was having his kids. So that kind of started us down a whole another path where we became pretty close with our biological father's raised daughter.
We started like a quick relationship together. The three of us have talked a lot, and she arranged for us to have a dinner and be able to meet the biological donor of the both of us. And it was pretty interesting. Jen came over to my house, and she has met my children. And the other sister actually comes to my salon and has met my children also. But it was the first time they were meeting each other, Jen and the other sister. And we were meeting the donor himself and another half brother, which is his raised children.
And then we all had dinner together.
Tell me about that.
So when I was back in Pennsylvania visiting family for Thanksgiving, we set a date to have dinner with biological dad and two of his three kids. Great and weird, and it was kind of everything. I felt like our personalities all meshed and fit well, and we just chatted and told one another about ourselves and told funny stories and laughed and ate and had drinks. And it was just nice.
We walked into the restaurant and everyone just kind of like was very excited to see us. And it was like a weird feeling of like nostalgia. Like we already knew each other, probably because we did so much investigation already. Just meeting together, like they did feel like family already. Like I felt like I already know them. And even like the donor was very much like his behaviors are very much like my own. The things that he says are very much like myself. So all of us have pretty boisterous, outgoing personalities. So it was a pretty loud, like jovial table. And we really didn't have any awkward silence or awkward moments. It was really sort of like being with people that you see all the time, but you don't even know them.
So Jen and Crystal started their own Instagram account together called Dear Crystal, DNA Sisters. It's an account where they both post about their MPE-DCP journeys. So they both posted on that account their musings about that night, where they met their bio father and his two kids that he raised. I asked them each to read their post. Here's Jen.
So we've made it to what I feel like is the big event, the night when Crystal and I met our biological father and two of his kids, the sister we'd been talking with, and one of the two brothers. I was in PA for Thanksgiving, and we made a plan to meet for dinner. I went to Crystal's, got to meet her kids and her nieces, which was great, and then she and I drove together to dinner. I'd been anxious that the brother had been added to the guest list late in the game, but Crystal reminded me that it would be fine and to just think of it as meeting any group of new people. So that's what I did. She's a bit less neurotic than I am. We arrived. We said, this is happening, and walked in. And they were there. Bio Dad jumped right up and gave each of us a huge hug. I'd been wondering what it would be like to see him, and I felt comfortable right away, but simultaneously nervous. They were all so friendly and open. It was nonstop chatter and storytelling, and surprise, surprise, it felt like having dinner with family. Dare I say it was fun. We did talk about his being a sperm donor and what it was like. He said the hospital told him there'd been 32 confirmed pregnancies, so there are 30 more of us out there, and I will add that with a caveat of that at least 30 more of us. He also gave each of us a copy of the headshot the hospital made him get when he was a donor. He looked like a short Burt Reynolds or Tom Selleck in a three-piece suit. It was actually hilarious. I think it was the sister toward the end of the night who said, it's so interesting that we're all equally related to the bio dad. The thing that's a little too difficult for me to say out loud to them is that while that's true, Crystal and I will never be part of their family. And this is the reality of having a sperm donor as a biological father. And it might have been easier to process if I'd always known. But I'm trying not to be too negative. I'm so glad they were willing to meet. So glad they were so open. And while we don't have any specific plans, I would like to see them again. I'd had this really intense desire to see him in the flesh talking. And I was so relieved that they made that happen for us.
And this is Crystal reading her account of that night.
So it's my turn. My thoughts on meeting bio donor dad. I was prepared that day may come when we would meet. I wasn't particularly excited to meet him. I was more excited to connect with Jen and the siblings. I didn't really feel that nervous because his opinion of me didn't feel important to me. If we like each other, that's great. If not, it didn't feel like a loss of a person that I never knew. Jen and I walked into a restaurant to meet the family on the day before Thanksgiving 2023. They were already seated and smiling pretty wide when they saw us. It felt like family. They feel familiar. It was a weirder family feeling than I thought that I'd feel. The donor gave us each a copy of his photo, blurred for his privacy, that was used for his donor selection bio. Strange to see the actual picture that my parents chose of the one. My life basically started with this face, and I look so much like him. I look mostly like him. He commented that he's surprised how alike Jen and I look, and that I look more like his side of the family than his raised children. It was fun to get to know them a little bit more. Our personalities are all pretty energetic and bubbly, so there wasn't a single moment of awkward silence. It is a slap of reality, though, that Jen and I will never be part of their family. But I'm happy that I feel like she's part of mine. We have been through this emotional roller coaster that only we can understand. Learning our DNA sure has its ups and downs.
That's brilliant. It made me cry.
Don't cry. I mean,
just in gratitude that you guys found each other.
I am. I'm really grateful to have Jen, honestly. Like, everyone says, like, I always wish that I had this, or I always wish that I had that. But, like, you know, I have a brother that I was raised with. And, you know, we really don't have the same connection that Jen and I have. And I love my brother, but I really do feel like I have so much in common with Jen. And I'm really grateful to know my actual biology. And I am grateful to have this other, you know, these other siblings. I know that it sounds weird that I really don't care one way or another what the bio donor thinks about me. You know, Jen was very concerned herself about, like, she felt like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go there. And I'm like so nervous now because they're going to judge me. I'm like, who cares? Like, what are you? She's like, it's going to be like a panel judging me. And I'm like, but don't even care what they think. What is it? You're literally a 43-year-old woman. You're successful. There's nothing for anyone to judge about you. Doesn't really matter what anybody thinks. You're already who you are. You know, so as far as those things, kind of weird, I think to myself a little that I don't really care one way or another if I have a relationship with him or I don't. Because he's kind of, you know, I don't even know that guy. But at the same time, my life began with that guy. And I have so much DNA relation, and my genetics and my behaviors obviously are very much of that guy. Hmm.
And here's Jen talking about why she calls the Instagram account they have together, Dear Crystal, DNA Sisters. I'll put a link to the account in the show notes.
Do you want me to tell the story of why it's called that?
Yes.
So after the first few times I talked to Crystal and after we'd met for the first time, it dawned on me that I had named a diary of mine Crystal as a child. I'd kept a diary throughout my whole childhood, and I decided to name one of the books Crystal. And I wrote every entry, Dear Crystal. And when that thought occurred to me, I was just dumbfounded. And wow. I told a friend that I had grown up with, and she said, oh yeah, Crystal was your favorite name. You remember using that in all of our pretend play when we were growing up? Like, Crystal was my favorite name.
Wow.
and I told Crystal, I'm like, please don't think this is, like, please don't be scared when I tell you this. I told her about the diary, and her response was just, well, where's my book then?
That is bizarre.
I know.
And so what does she mean to you now?
I mean, it's like, I can't say it's like having a sister, because I don't know what that would have been like. It just feels really special. It just feels like we get along so well, and I don't know. It's special.
Imagine, if you will, you guys are out for dinner. The waiter asks, how do you guys know each other? How would you introduce her?
Now I would be glad to just say, this is my sister. Especially if it's a stranger, because I don't have to go into all the details, but it is very weird because we are so close. It's just so, I neither of us had sisters growing up. You know, when I say the words, my sister, I just feel so strange. Mm. And I'm waiting for it to feel normal. I like it. You know, it's still kind of jarring.
And then same scenario with your half sister that was raised by your bio dad. Would you introduce her as sister?
I guess I would. I don't know that there's going to be as much interaction with her as I will have with Crystal. it just feels like there's an invisible line between me and Crystal and their family.
Are there any other donor sibs out there that you guys know of?
So he confirmed on the day where we were having dinner, and he brought that photo that he kind of got like sort of like an award given, that he was the most requested donor, and that it was confirmed that there were at least 32 conceptions. That doesn't mean 32 live births. It could be more, it could be less. If there were twins, triplets, you know, miscarriages, we don't really know. But there were 32 confirmed conceptions.
Wow. But right now, you and Jen are it?
Right now, Jen and I are it.
Wow. So this story could have a part three, part four.
It could. It could. And it was just Christmas. So I'm like, all right.
It's sibling season.
You don't know. Sibling season. I've heard about that. So we shall see. I also think maybe we may not meet other siblings if they know, if their parents were honest. We don't know whose parents were honest and whose weren't. I know that my parents and Jen's parents were both told that it is best practice to not tell anyone and not tell your child, because that was the way to make the child's life the most normal.
Right.
To just not say it. Well, so I get that. And I do respect that my parents were really good at that.
Yeah. It's so, no one foresaw the DNA test.
No one foresaw that. I've also been telling one of my close friends, her husband was infertile. They ended up getting divorced and she did have a baby. But in that whole time, I kept telling my friend, this is before I knew, just go and get a donor. No one will know. Get a donor that looks like your husband. You can pick the picture and just nobody has to know. He doesn't even have to know. It'll be fine. Just go get a donor.
You are your mother's child.
Is that the most ironic thing to say out of my own mouth?
I know. Oh, another thing I wanted to ask you. Your brother, does he have any kids?
He has two kids.
So does he or his kids look like your bio father?
I do think that my brother's oldest daughter does look like the donor family, quite honestly. She even has, if you look at Jen's pictures, Jen has dimples in the tops of her cheeks, which is like an unusual thing. I don't have dimples up there, but like in the top of her cheeks, like under her eyes, she has a dimple. And my niece Leah has that. And no one else has it. My brother does not have that. And that's not like a typical facial trait that people have, dimples up there under your eye. And she does, and so does my niece. So I was like, that's kind of like an interesting characteristic that they both share. She'll be 18 this year.
So this year, when she turns 18, you can have her take a DNA test.
And she plans to. Yep.
She does.
She actually is going to be going to school for genetics.
Well, Crystal, thank you so much for coming on. It was so good. And I'm so glad you and Jen found each other.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I hope that this, you know, some people with their story and acceptance. It was great talking to you.
You thank too. You. Tell us about how the little, I actually did a shout out to you guys before, but I want you to tell everybody about your little group that's formed up there in Northern Michigan.
Yeah, we found one another through one of the Facebook groups, the Michigan Facebook group. And we, it kind of became clear that there was this little handful of people that all lived pretty close. And we decided to start, you know, getting together once in a while and just sharing our stories. And,
what kind of Facebook group is it?
I believe it was an NPE friends group, one of Catherine St. Clair's.
The big group's little subgroup.
So it was her subgroup, the Michigan group. And I had posted, I said, does anyone live, you know, near here? And, you know, we kind of put together a little side chat and we started calling ourselves the NOMI NPE for Northern Michigan NPEs. And yeah, we get together kind of ad hoc, fairly regularly, just at lunch and chat and tell one another our stories. And it's nice to just be able to meet in person with people who've had similar experiences.
How many are you?
So at this point, I think there might be 6 or 7 of us.
Wow. That's so cool.
I know.
And I think I called it Know Me without knowing that you guys called it that. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's just such an obvious.
Yeah, thing. Yeah.
Wouldn't be South Me. It wouldn't be So Me, Don.
Wouldn't be Middle Me.
Yeah. But it's interesting, too, that it's an area of Michigan where I've spent a lot of time because my wife's family has cottages up there.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, right?
Thanks again for coming on, and I'm so glad that you guys found each other.
I know. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, you too.
I'll hit record next time. Just kidding.
Stab it.
Hello?
Mom, we need to talk.
Well, okay, let me have it. What did I do wrong?
Well, first of all, I haven't found the correct Reginald yet, but I just want to know where I was conceived.
Trust me, you do not want to know that story.
Now I definitely do.
Honey, what if I were to ask you where your kids were conceived?
In my bed with my husband. Novel idea, I know. Your turn.
You, what do you call yourselves? NPEs? Are the only people in the world who want to talk about their parents' sex life.
Okay. I'll guess 3 places, and you tell me if I'm correct. Motel, in a cab, or backseat of a car?
Not even close. And technically, a cab and the backseat of a car are the same thing. Like, I'd really have sex in the front seat of a cab.
But the backseat isn't out of a question?
Any more guesses?
Where else could my mother have an affair? City Park, Navy Pier, your husband's bed while he was at work. Am I getting warm?
You suck at this game.
Just tell me, Mom. It's the least you could do.
All right. Sofitel Hotel.
Pretty fancy place to get a room for an affair.
We weren't in a room, sweetie.
Do I get 3 guesses where in the hotel? Do they have beds in the lobby?
Seriously, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. I worked there at the time.
Please tell me he wasn't a businessman with a flashy smile who took off his wedding ring.
So cliche. Don't be ridiculous. What kind of person do you think I am? He wasn't a guest, Kathy. He worked there also. Matter of fact, he was the HR manager.
So the guy you're supposed to go to if you're complaining about someone being inappropriate at work?
Well, I had a serious complaint. The assistant manager hit on me.
Mom, please tell me you're kidding.
What?
So some guy hit on you, and you were so insulted you went to complain to HR, but then had sex with the HR manager?
Well, the assistant manager was ugly.
Well, it's good to know you have some standards.
Thanks. And so did Reggie. He fired the guy.
This is unbelievable.
I told you you didn't want to know.
Well, to complete the story, Mom, where inside the hotel?
In his office, dear. What a silly question.
Oy vey. I gotta go. Love you, Mom.
Love you, too. Bye.
Interestingly enough, it's been probably like 4 weeks since I interviewed Jen, and the Nomi group is already grown to 10 people. So it's growing. And if you live in Northern Michigan and you want to be part of it, or you want to get in touch with them if you're an NPE, LDA, or DCP, contact Sherry. She was the double NPE story. Her email is mrsrobinsonsince1983@gmail.com. Mrs. Robinson since... And Mrs. is MRS Robinson since 1983@gmail.com. I'll put a link in the show notes. I'd like to thank Billy Sullivan for all the music on today's episode. If you need access to vast music library, or if you need to rent studio recording space in LA, go to solistone.com. Thanks, Lisa Poggi, for doing the comedy skit with me. Let's give her a big hand, everyone. Also, someone reached out to me to do voiceover for a corporate video they're working on. Made $100. They said just do it like you do on your podcast. So guess what? I'm now a professional voiceover artist. If you need someone for voiceover work for me or Lisa, send an email to donnpe@icloud.com. Please like, follow, rate, all that shizzle. It really helps the podcast grow. It only takes a second to follow or rate, just a little click. On Apple Podcasts, you just have to click on those little stars to rate it. I think you might have to scroll to the bottom a little bit. And to follow it, you just click on the check mark in the upper right corner, unless they've changed it. And if you are really, really cool, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I love reading them, and it really, really helps the podcast to grow. And please, if everyone can just tell one other person, tell another NPE, DCP, LDA. It doesn't matter. It could be the normal person. Just please share this podcast with one other person. That would be awesome. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, NPE_life_podcast. And if you want to listen to Lily's podcast, it's NPE Stories. And Eve's is Everything's Relative with Eve Sturges. You can find them wherever you listen to podcasts. I will put a link to each of them in the show notes. My name is Don Anderson. I'm the host of Missing Pieces, NPE Life. I will see you on the next episode.